Welcome to the 12 cast, the official podcast of the 12 point. To learn more, visit at the 12 point on Instagram. And now, let the show begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Deuce Cast, presented by The Deuce Point. My name is Rain, a member at TDP, and I'm so excited to welcome you back to another episode of Is It a Hot Take, where we're going to be looking at some of the amazing songs for Eurovision 2024. So today, we're going to be looking at four amazing new songs, and those songs will be Rimtim Tagitim from the artist Baby Lasagna from Croatia, Eropapa from the artist Jus Klein from the Netherlands, Liar from Celia Capsis from Cyprus, and Veronica from the artist Raven from Slovenia. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. So that was a sample from the song Rimtim Tagitim from the artist Baby Lasagna for Croatia. And wow, this song has actually gotten so popular that is now the highest in the odds to win Eurovision now. And I think that's it's the first time Croatia's ever been first in the odds to ever win Eurovision. So super great that a new country that actually hasn't won Eurovision before. Well, I believe they haven't won. Yeah, I believe there was in 1989 there was Rock Me by and they were from Yugoslavia, but and it was held in Zagreb, but that I wouldn't ever really count that as Croatia just because it's kind of hard to track if that was Croatia. I believe the band was from Croatia, but again, Croatia as an independent country has never actually won Eurovision before, so it would be really cool to see Baby Lasagna bring that win, and it's 100% deserving. There was a lot of doubt surrounding Rimtim Tagitim at Dora in the beginning because, as a fun fact, the song wasn't even considered to be in the original selection. It was added in as a backup because one of the songs withdrew. So it was interesting to see how, the song is not even in the original selection and it was managed to win. But that kind of questions the selection process for Dora. You're literally having songs that are winning that you haven't even let into the selection. What does that say about the representation team that they're using to select the songs with? I don't know. But again, Rimtim Tagitim performed in the second semifinal and qualified. And that meant that they were performing in the final, and they performed in 14th in the final. And they won the jury, which was a big surprise, with 74 points. I believe when looking at the jury, they did some weird thing in Dora where it was they were using a combination of both Croatian and international juries in the same retrospect, which hasn't really been done. So yeah, they had Osijek, Ukraine, Rijeka, Iceland, Split, Italy, Germany, and Zagreb. Rimtim Tagitim got points from, I believe, every jury except Italy, getting 12 points from Osijek, Rijeka, Iceland, Split, and Zagreb, 10 points from Ukraine, 4 points from Germany, and because Italy decided to be different, they didn't give any points to Rimtim Tagitim. There was actually a decent amount of songs in this national final. I know people were kind of underwhelming the quality of Dora this year, but I actually did like a few songs, like Rimtim Tagitim, of course, Gasoline, Lying Eyes, and then, of course, Let Three Return, but that song was a little bit questionable. But yeah, so it was obvious then that Rimtim Tekitim took away that jury. And it was then they announced the televote. And I would just like to point out how ridiculous the disparity in the between the first and the second was. So second place in the juries was Alain Duras with Tamburitsa Lullaby. And they got 27 points with a total of 10,500 votes. Now, Baby Lasagna finished with a massive 247 points from the televote, which meant that they had almost 1,000% more votes than Alain Durache. And it does make sense considering while Alain Durache only got 10,000 votes, Baby Lasagna got 95,800 votes. So yeah, it was 100% clear that Baby Lasagna was the winner. And it was still a 50-50 split, so it wasn't like, oh, like Finland, where No Rules was the winner, but it ended up finishing last in the juries and first in the televote. No, this was like Rimtim Tekitim won the juries, and it also won the televote. So definitely an 100% deserved winner. And when it was brought on stage, absolutely amazing stage show. Baby Lasagna absolutely dominated the stage. It was like a great show. Like, it was just like all the elements kind of came together so perfectly. I think a thing I really like about like Rimtim Tekitim is also it kind of communicates a more subtle issue as well. We saw that with Karia's Cha 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 last year, and like I don't know if it was like communicating alcoholism and like the social pressures of drinking at parties, but I think that was like the kind of the subliminal messaging, and we kind of see something similar, not like the same topic, but we see some subliminal messaging in the song. And it's about like the movement of like the new generation away from like many of like countries like Croatia, and it's kind of like communicating like even if you look at the lyrics for Rimtim Tekitim. Like the first few lines are like, I'm ready to leave, I'm going away. So yeah, it's like talking about like moving away from home, or like the need to become, like the need to become like a city boy, or like so advanced, and like, the anxiety almost that kind of ruminates that, that from that fear almost. So honestly, a very deep message from a song that wouldn't be considered like a very deep song. It's not a ballad, but this is once again your reminder for the day. Like, this is a PSA that songs that may be considered like a little bit more silly entries may also have subliminal messaging almost to the same extent as a ballad. It's just presented differently. The idea is that in songs we are always able to communicate messages either like explicitly or implicit, like it's like more like subtle messaging, and no matter what song we're listening to, it always has a message. It's just the way that they're represented can be either very obvious, like in a ballad, or a little bit more subliminal, like in a little bit more of these like silly songs. And again, I wouldn't even classify songs like Rimtim Tekitim and Cha 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 as silly, because they're not. They're more of like, they're professional, like they're still professional songs. They're just more party songs. And there's nothing wrong with calling something party song and still being professional. So yeah, I really think that Baby Lasagna has brought in a new opportunity for Croatia this year. I think that honestly, this song has a decent chance of doing extremely well in the contest. I know people were there have been a numerous amount of songs that are a little bit on the sillier side or more on the party side, like Estonia, Finland, and then yeah, so we have like those songs and Netherlands as well, which we'll talk about today. So yeah, we have those kind of songs like fighting out for those televote points. But I think there's something a little bit special in Rimtim Tekitim that will kind of offer a new insight almost, or a new perspective And I think it's going to transform the way that Eurofans view these like party songs, more than just, oh, it's a song that I can dance to, but oh, it's a song that I can dance to that maybe has a subliminal meaning. And I know for most of the people that are watching this, they probably won't have time to sit there and contemplate the issues of outward migration of young people. But it's always nice to think that artists have this in the back of their mind while they're performing, and it kind of adds a little bit more context to the choices that they're making in their performance, some of the things that they might want to add or consider adding into their stage elements as well. So in terms of like actually, because Croatia is once again in the semifinals, well, they'll always be in the semifinals unless they do win. They are in the first semifinal, which is known as the Bloodbath semifinal, and they are in the first half of the semifinal, which is arguably not great, but again, first place in the odds, this is definitely a qualifier. So much so is I might say that this is the winner of the semifinal. I think it's not a stretch to say that at all. There's a lot of countries that could vote for this. Serbia could vote for this, although I don't know if they actually are that close televote partners anymore. There's Moldova could vote for this, Slovenia could vote for this, Ukraine could vote for this, Lithuania could vote for this, Poland could vote for this. Then you also have like other countries, Sweden and the UK could vote for this. I think there's a lot of countries like televotes that are really going to enjoy this. And again, 100% televote, even with the juries, I wouldn't be concerned about it qualifying. We've seen like a shift in how we approach like party songs with the jury. And we saw even last year, Karia, who was predicted to finish a lot lower with the juries, ended up finishing top five with a considerable amount of televotes. So it's not a stretch to say that even with juries, it wouldn't stagger the progress of Hrim Tim Tegi Tim as well. So I would say that Croatia is going to finish first in the semifinal and top five overall. I think there's something special about this song. I think it offers something completely unique, and I think that the song has a fighting chance to do amazing at Eurovision this year. So massive congratulations to Baby Lasagna with a song Hrim Tim Tegi Tim. And now it's time to move on to our next song, and that is from the Netherlands. And they're going to be sending Joost Klein with the song Europapa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot de dood gaan. Europapa, Europapa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot de dood gaan. Europapa, Europapa. Europapa, Europapa. Europapa, So that was a snippet from the song Europapa from the Netherlands, who sent the artist Joost Klein. And I mean, just speaking from the knowledge that I have about Joost Klein's discography, there's a lot of songs that I do enjoy a lot more that I feel like would have been better to send for Eurovision. Of course, they can't send it because they've either broken our rule or there's something that they couldn't send about it. But I don't know about Europapa. I think there was a lot more hype up around it. It's not a bad song by any means. And I think that there's like, there's a lot of like, there's again, just like how I mentioned with, Croatia, these like songs that are deemed like more like party songs, are a little bit more, deeper in their messaging. And I again think that there's like a really heartbreaking message that kind of doesn't make this a joke entry anymore. If you've had the chance to listen to the actual video of Europapa, you'll see at the end the lines, at the end of the day, we are all human beings. My father once told me it's a world without borders. I miss you every day is what I secretly whisper. You see, Dad, I listen to you. And then at the end, you see a picture of Joost with, I think, his father, with his father, and it's being like lit on fire. So it's burning. I think that that transforms our kind of understanding of the song, because like when we're first listening to Ero Papa, we're just like the first lines. I don't actually speak Dutch, so I'm not gonna pronounce it. But the first lines in English are "Europe, let's come together, Ero Papa, Ero Papa." It's now or never. I love you all, Ero Papa, Ero Papa. Then it kind of goes off into exploring all the different countries like France, Austria, Netherlands, Germany, Poland, France again. Then there's actually some subtle call-outs. There's a line that says, like, turn on the radio, I histrome with Papa Ute. Won't stop until they say, yes, yes, he does that very well, eh? For those who don't know, Stromae, who's a very famous Belgian singer, that has one of the most famous songs called Papa Ute, and that in English translates to Father, where are you? Or Papa, where are you? Ute. So it's a little bit a song that people just turn on the radio and dance to, but are we actually really considering what the meaning of this song is? So I think it's like a song within a song, because like you're subliminally messaging Papa Ute, and then you have that piece at the end, and maybe that's what Ero Papa is. It's more of a it's like a more of an emotional letter to youth's life, or because like even the chorus, like welcome to Europe, stay here until I die, Ero Papa, Ero Papa, it's kind of symbolizing that he like wants to be like an Ero. Like it's like, I don't know if I'm reading too deep into this, but it's almost like symbolizing like you want to kind of go across Europe to kind of escape some like inner pain or something. Even the line, like, I'm in Germany, but I'm so alone. I'm in Italy, but I still feel pain. I'm running for myself, calling for help every day long. Like, yes, I even give people money, but there's no one to help me. Like, this is more of like a call for like this is like a call for help almost. Like, when I was reading this, I was like, this isn't like what the lyrics are like. Like, sure, it's being presented as like this like happy, like goofy song from like the video, but like when you actually read the lyrics, it's a lot darker than like than the video is making it seem. Like, these are like seriously like really dark lyrics. Today I'm doing a lot of lyrical analysis of both of like Croatia and Netherlands, because I find these to be like a lot more subliminal than like the Eurofans are giving more credit for. Overall it's really well constructed, and honestly with that I don't know, it's just, it's like a little bit, it changes my perspective on it, because if I'm just listening it with to it with no knowledge of it, I'm just like, okay, this is like another joke entry, it's maybe like a party pop song, or like even like a party rap song. But then once I read those lyrics, I'm like, oh, okay, this changes my mind about the song completely. But again, because just like how I said with Croatia, people are not going to be able to deconstruct the entire meaning of emotional call-outs and like parental relationships in the song and like lost aspirations and everything. They're not going to be able to do that in 3 minutes. So let's just go back a little bit and just look at it from the televoter's perspective. Because again, this isn't, I'm kind of acting like the jury here. I'm like, I'm going to read into these lyrics a lot more. But yeah, so I think in terms of the public is going to definitely eat this up as well. It's in the second semifinal, so it's not going to really have to compete with songs like Croatia and Finland. It will have to compete with Estonia, who's in that second half, and in the second half of the second semifinal. However, again, I believe there's only going to be 15 countries in that second semifinal, so the chances that either one or both of them are going to get eliminated are absolutely zero, unless the public completely changes their minds. They're like, we don't want songs that are party songs this year. So unless that happens, which I doubt is going to happen, and even still, there's going to be enough fan base to help vote this through, this is going to be a guaranteed qualifier, again, just like Croatia was in semifinal one. Again, I think Croatia is going to do a little bit better optimally in the final, because they still will pull out some of that jury vote, where I think unless the judges or unless the juries are actually reading into Europapa, I don't think they're going to be able to get that same messaging as they do with Hrimtim Tangidim. So I think that reasonably it would come top three in that in the semifinal. I think the only songs that could give it a run for its money, Austria's, or which we'll be talking about in another episode, and Switzerland, Belgium, and Estonia, I think are the ones that, and maybe Norway as well, are the ones that are going to really give Netherlands a run for its money. So I do expect them to do qualify really easily in that semifinal, and I do expect them to, I do expect really good outcomes, but in the final, I'm a bit worried it's going to end in that top 15 position. I'm not saying that's a bad position, but I just feel like there's going to be something set up to make it a little bit more difficult for Yus to do as exceptional. But I do think that Yus will get a little bit of his dream with a bunch of 12 points, which will be great, especially in that semifinal. There could be a lot of song countries that are giving 12 points, Belgium, many, and maybe even any of the countries that he mentioned in the song could give 12 points. So yeah. And I think in terms of the stage performance, I hope we get like the most extravagant stage show ever, because like there's so much potential with the staging, and I really hope Avrotros, or the Dutch broadcaster, like they do something with the stage to make it like amazing, because remember, a song is sometimes only half the battle. The staging can either make or break a song, and even the most strongest of songs have been weakened a lot in Eurovision because their staging has not been optimal or has not met with the criteria of what the song was trying to achieve. So I think that they're going to, but again, hoping for the best, being an optimist here, and again, really surprised by those lyrics, but again, a very powerful song as well as it is a funny song. So congratulations to Yus Klein. And now it is time to move on to the third song, which is from Cyprus, who have sent the artist Cilia Kapsis with her song Liar. So that was a sample from the song Liar by Cilia Kapsis for Cyprus. And this is a fun fact. So this is like a, Cilia Kapsis is only 17 years old, which is I believe you can only be 16 when entering for Eurovision, because junior Eurovision cuts off at 14 years old, and then Eurovision begins at 16, so if you're 15, I think you're out of luck on this. But yes, Cilia Kapsis, when selected, she was only 16, and she is 17 now. So yeah, to be this talented at 17 is amazing. A little fun fact, if you have, I don't know if you've heard of the controversy from Greece last year, but there was an artist named Melissa Mandzoukas, who was part of the three artists in Greece's internal selection final. So they ended up selecting Viktor Renikos with what they say for last year. However, Melissa Mandzoukas sent the song, I believe, I actually don't know the name of the song, I'm just doing some quick research. Oh, it was Lahir. So as a little bit of a funny callback, so I believe this is the exact same song, just with a little bit of a revamp of Melissa Manzoukas' song. So it is true that some songs are literally just passed around in like the same, because I believe for both Greece and Cyprus, they use Panic Records. So that is interesting. I believe there's still an ongoing trial about it right now. There is some, I don't know too much about it, but I just heard somewhere that that was like an eerie coincidence. So yeah, Melissa Manzoukas with her song Liar is the same song as Celia Capsis's Liar. It's just tweaked a little bit almost. It's a great song, to be honest. Like, it's the lyrics are a little bit generic, because that is what comes with songs like this. But what saves it a lot is that beat drop. It's like, it's a really like fire beat drop. And honestly, it's like, it's what's gonna save Cyprus, I think. Well, I mean, Cyprus generally doesn't like do terribly with the televote. Like we saw last year, Break a Broken Heart. Even Aya in 2022 from Andromache didn't qualify, but did do reasonably well with the televote. 2021, El Diablo did again great with the televote. 2019, why am I blanking on who they sent for? They sent a Tamta Replay. Cyprus has been doing pretty consistently well with their televote. From Running all the way to Break a Broken Heart, they've been pretty consistent about their televote capabilities. So again, I don't think that's going to change with Liar this year. It's a really popular song, and again, Eurofans kind of have like inner knowledge about certain things that, again, most people watching Eurovision probably won't know. So I doubt people are even going to know that it was kind of like a recycled or reused song. So I doubt that's going to be, an issue. Say it was, reused, because what happened was, I believe Celia Capsis even tried to enter for the Greek selection because she has both Greek and Cypriot ancestry. Cyprus at the time was going to use Fame Story as a method to select the artist, but then they decided to just not do that. And Greece ended up selecting Marina Sarti, and Cyprus ended up selecting Celia Capsis, who I believe didn't win that Greek selection from there. Pretty interesting. But again, just speaks to the close relationship between Greece and Cyprus. So again, definitely think that Celia Capsis has amazing potential. I listened to some songs like Disco Dancer, and like amazing vocals, amazing stage presence. Definitely has capabilities to do extremely well on the Eurovision stage. And definitely with Cyprus's like general talent with making stages come alive, I think that this is going to be no different for Celia Capsis. And I think they're going to lean into that like teen aesthetic for like, I don't even know what that is, teen aesthetic, but it's just like a common thing like used among like Gen Z or like things that are a little bit relevant in this generation that might not be as relevant in other generations. I think that might lean into that actually, because that's kind of what like Celia Capsis is kind of going over into that song, like kind of like a call out for fake people in the world. Even in the lyrics, you can see should have known that you were a liar, but I looked the other way. Should have known you're a troublemaker, but you act too nice to hate. I know we couldn't get much higher, but you promised the world to me. Do you see that you light my fire? Now I know that what I do. Honestly, like, there is a lot of potential to make the staging a little bit, like, more, like, in your face, which is always good because, like, for telebutters, they want something that's a little bit more in your face rather than something that's a little bit more reserved and minimalist. Historically, songs that have been more minimalist in their staging have actually done pretty badly with the televote, notably, like, Switzerland from 22, Boys Do Cry, Marius Baer, had a very minimalist staging and ended up only finishing second last in the televote with 11 points, but was saved by the juries. Unfortunately, for Cyprus this year, juries are not an option, so they won't be, actually, well, probably won't matter anyways, because the Cyprus, Greece, they're separated this year. But again, even last year, there was the whole drama with, I don't know who gave who, but they only give 4 points to one country instead of the usual 12 that they give back and forth. I believe it was Cyprus or Greece giving it to Cyprus because Cyprus couldn't give it to Greece. So yes, Greece giving only 4 points to Cyprus was a little bit of a, like a questionable moment, but it's kind of good to see that we're moving away from voting blocks. I don't know where I stand on, like, the use of voting blocks anymore, because they can either be really helpful or really harmful, but I think it just creates, like, a little bit of an unfair advantage for countries that don't really have very, very many voting partners. Like, for example, Australia doesn't have a lot besides, like, the UK, really. And then other smaller countries that are participating, like Moldova this year is kind of put in an unfortunate position without Romania to help them. Iceland without the help of Norway without the help of a lot of their Nordic neighbors might suffer in terms of like the voting bloc. So yeah, I don't know. It just makes it a little bit difficult to understand, but that's aside from the point. So Cyprus is going to be performing in the first half of the first semifinal. And as I said before, I do genuinely think that all the songs from the first semifinal could potentially qualify. I said that beforehand, and I am going to backtrack a little bit. I'm going to say Poland is likely to not qualify. I said this last time. It's a little bit in the middle, but I doubt Poland will be able to pull it off compared to the rest of the countries. I do think Croatia, Ireland, Lithuania, and Ukraine are safe qualifiers. Serbia, we're actually still waiting on the result for Serbia. They're going to be the fourth last national final to reveal their results after Iceland, Portugal, and Sweden. And yeah, so we're still waiting on them, but we do have like the results for Croatia, Cyprus, Ireland, Lithuania, Poland, Ukraine, Finland, Luxembourg, Moldova, and Slovenia. And out of that, I do think that Cyprus has a pretty decent chance to qualify from that. Again, a very pop-friendly song, a very televote-friendly song. Cyprus usually does pretty well. Cyprus is probably going to transform the staging, and I do think that Lyre will finish between 5th and 7th with the televote. Again, there are a few songs that I think are a lot stronger. But that doesn't mean that they won't qualify. I think they're a pretty safe qualifier. They're not a lock. They're not like Croatia level of lock. But they're not like a borderline. They're kind of in the middle. They're just like a safe, but not like guaranteed. So yeah, 5th to 7th maybe, and then in the final, I'd probably say it similar to last year, but maybe a little bit lower. So I would say still top 15 because I think they're gonna get a decent amount of jury love and some extra televote points as well. So yeah, that was a little bit about Cyprus. So a massive congratulations to Celia Capsis, making not only Cyprus proud, but also Australia as well, because she's actually from Sydney. So yeah, massive congratulations to Celia Capsis. And now it's time to move on to the final song of today, which is from Slovenia, who sent the artist Raven with Veronica. So that was a sample from the Slovenian song for Eurovision 2024. They have sent the artist Raven with her song Veronica. And as a fun fact, this song was written by both Raven and as well. It was written by Boyan, from who you might remember from last year as the lead singer from Joker Out. And I think what Slovenia has been doing is actually working. It's changing from a national selection, which they've done for 2022 all the way back a long time ago. Now they're shifting towards a internal selection. I think that's actually working a lot better for the country. So yeah, I think that Slovenia's headed on a little bit more of a brighter path than in past years. I know they've had a little bit of a difficulty qualifying, finishing last place in the semifinal, undeserved, by the way, with Disco. And 2019 was the last time they qualified, besides 2023. They have had a decent run in a few years, but that, like, some of the songs, like 2017, 2016, they kind of just had a pretty bad run sometimes. So yeah, hopefully this new trend of the internal selections is going to create some good benefits for Veronica this year. Another fun fact, Veronica is actually based on a real legend. It's inspired, I believe, by the story of the first woman to be tried as a witch in Slovenia. I'm not 100% sure. I would have to go back and research it, but I believe that is the story, and it's a pretty interesting story as well. Even though she was found innocent, they did still unalive her, and it was a pretty interesting story. And it kind of starts out as the it starts out with the unaliving part first, and then it kind of transforms into the song as a spirit almost. And it is taking place as a mermaid almost. Honestly, the level of quality that Raven has put into the song is honestly really impressive. There's some lines like, "Who are you afraid of when you when you deny your desires? You look into my eyes, the image of you shines in them. I am a mirror without edges, I am but a reflection of your fears." And then it ends off with the line, "Yes, DC, Veronica." And that's basically, I'm gonna keep singing through this, and yes. That actually does mean I am your Veronica. And then this line, "Tvojo resniko leonebe," which is your truth only she knows. So that is repeated 3 times at the end of the song. And yeah, it is really meant to symbolize what Raven is trying to show, because Raven is trying to kind of exemplify this, expand the knowledge of the story of Veronica to a larger audience. And I think Eurovision is a great platform to do this. Now, I don't know too much about how Raven was selected. I heard there was some issues with the internal selection. Raven has tried to represent Slovenia on several different occasions, always finishing second, which has got to be pretty bad, or a pretty bad feeling. So I was really glad that she got the opportunity to represent Slovenia at Eurovision this year, because I think this song is definitely the best of her Eurovision attempts. Definitely a very extremely powerful song, with a lot of influential, historical elements, but also a lot of artistic quality to it as well. Really definitely enjoy listening to this on first go. It was actually, it was the second song released in Eurovision for the internal selection, the first being France, who sent the song absurdly early at I've actually been saving the song for a little bit. So they were the second song to release. They released back in January, and I've had a few people ask in the middle of recording these, "Why haven't you talked about Slovenia yet when you've already moved on to songs that were released a little bit later?" Yeah, I actually don't have a good reason for why I delayed it, but here you are now. And yeah, so it was the second song released as an internal selection, the fourth song overall after France, Albania, and Czechia. And I think at the time it definitely blew up compared to the other three. Like, there was nothing wrong with either of the three songs, but for most year fans, it kind of exploded the competition. And yeah, it was honestly like a massive shock. Again, what they sent last year was also amazing, top five for me last year, and I think it was even better than it is this year. But by comparison, both are very amazing songs compared to the past like few years. Slovenia loves to send songs in Slovenian, which is amazing. I think of the past few years, most of their songs have actually been in Slovenian. 2024, 2023, 2022, 2020, 2019, 2018. And then, yeah, before that, it kind of goes down, and that's kind of where we have like songs that, and then it goes back to again in those like early 2000s, 2010s. Then it goes back to that Slovenian, but for a moment there when they only sent English songs, I could understand why those were the songs that performed the worst. I think Slovenian just has a magical quality to it as a language, and I think that whenever it has the opportunity to be used in a song, it should be, because it definitely will help to enhance a song. Yeah, I just love the Slovenian language. It's very beautiful. So in terms of staging potential, so again, Slovenia has been drawn into the first semifinal in the second half of that semifinal. So it does create a little bit of a benefit. I don't think that Raven will close at the semifinal. I think just for shock factor, they're going to put Windows 95 Man last. Either that, or they're going to put like Australia or Azerbaijan last, depending on what they send, because it could be something really great as well. So now that Veronica isn't great, it's just they usually tend to put a little bit more of the hype songs at the end, just because it does better in terms of like a televote, like, or just like in terms of I actually don't have a great answer for that. I don't know why they, I think it's just a better ways to close off the semifinal rather than putting a song that isn't as much of like a hype song. Yeah, I even remember last year in the semifinals, Cha-Cha-Cha and Voyager were the ones to close out the semifinals, I believe. That was a little bit interesting to note, that they usually like to put those hype songs. I do think that it's going to be Finland instead of Slovenia, but either way, I do think that Slovenia will qualify. Now, one thing to note is that there needs to be something done with that staging. I think it really needs to be replicated from the music video. If they cannot do this, I will worry about Slovenia's qualification potential. Right now, I do say it's a safe qualifier. Just like I said with Cyprus, it's not a guaranteed, but it's not a borderline. I think in this case, there's a lot of I don't think there's any songs that we can realistically write off as, no, it's not qualifying this year. There are a few that we can say, they're borderline. But I don't think there's any song that even I, for example, would say is going to realistically not qualify, because they all are actually really strong and they're all on kind of like a competitive basis. So it's kind of difficult to say which song is going to not qualify. So I think when the results come, we're going to be a little bit heartbroken, because some of the songs that are actually good are probably going to be non-qualifiers this year. However, that being said, I do think that Slovenia will be qualifying in that same as Cyprus, 5th to 7th position in the semifinal, presenting that they do have good staging. And then in the final, I do hope that they do not get robbed, just like Slovenia last year. The 20th, 21st place, I believe, was absolute robbery. It was a very bad result, and that was completely undeserved for Joker Out, who sent an amazing song. So yeah, I hope that Raven doesn't get robbed again this year. I don't think it's going to win, but I do think it could come top 10 if the staging is amazing, or top 15 if the staging is a little bit eh. But let's hope that Slovenia gets a pretty favorable result this year, because they always are underrated by Europe, and that needs to start changing. Just like Croatia. So yeah, maybe Croatia and Slovenia will see their best results ever. Who knows? Let's hope for the best and be optimistic about this year, because so far this year is looking great. And yeah, congratulations to Raven and Slovenia this year. And with that, that is the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening. And if you are interested in checking out more amazing Eurovision content, head on over to @thedeucepoint on Instagram. That is @thedeucepoint. I hope you enjoyed hearing my reviews of some of these Eurovision songs, and I can't wait to see you in the next episode.